Can you believe it? They're going to make me a bishop. Me. That's what he was saying as he was browsing through the store, and he kept repeating this to the clerk. I can't believe that I get to be a bishop. As he was looking through the store, he was evidently looking for some more vestments which would match his increase in rank. And I think he just wanted to repeat this because he wanted everyone to know he was going to be a bishop, which is actually a pretty big deal in his church body. After all, in the Roman Catholic Church, a bishop oversees 250,000 people on average, and they're appointed directly by the Pope. For him, that was a pretty big deal. I myself was there too, looking in that liturgical store for some vestments. I have to admit, I wasn't looking in the bishop section. I was looking for something a little bit more plain. Actually, I picked this one out, I believe. But then I got to thinking, what would John the Baptist wear? Does it matter what he would have worn? And really, what should we be looking for when it comes to looking for those and looking to those who share and who preach the word of our God? Well, this morning, John directs us to see the answer as he points us in the right direction.
This message is shared from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country. Recorded on December 17, 2017. Based on John chapter 1 selected verses.
You see, John was somebody who certainly had a very high position in the church. As he went around baptizing, he gained a lot of attention. John had a position which was higher than any Anglican bishop or priest or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox bishop, priest, or pope. John had a position that was even higher than the one of those who in his time served in the temple in Jerusalem as high priest. John was one who Jesus called the greatest of all the prophets. But where did he preach? We read here that he was out in the wilderness in Bethany near the Jordan. And this is not the Bethany that's close by to the city of Jerusalem. No, this is a different Bethany that evidently is up in the region of Galilee, far from the center of Jerusalem and worship. And John's cathedral, it was the hillsides around the Jordan River. You see, for John, the building didn't matter. And as John went about and did his work, you might imagine perhaps John had a lot of people, because it says crowds came from everywhere. The whole Judean countryside came to hear his preaching. And there were many, many people hearing about him, so that they heard about him in Jerusalem and all over. John certainly reached a lot of people. In fact, more people than Billy Graham or Joel Osteen will ever reach. John's words went from Judea to the city of Jerusalem and are recorded on the pages of Scripture. And yet, pretty clear, John never pointed to the size of his crowd as evidence for who he was and how important he was. For John, he just was a voice that would speak to anyone who would listen. See, for him, numbers didn't matter. Oh, but you can imagine how John was dressed, having such a prominent role, right? And yet as I walked through that liturgical vestment store, I didn't see any John the Baptist section. John was wearing camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. John, who, for him, appearance didn't matter. Oh, but you imagine as John did all this, surely he had some sort of a extravagant budget and offering collection. But no, there's John. He's out in the wilderness. There's no building expenses to pay. And John, who's wearing camel's hair, certainly has no clothing expenses, really, too much to speak of. And there's John, his food, wild insects, and honey. John accomplished everything that he did, this great accomplishment, on the smallest church budget ever. Because for John, he wasn't in it for the fame, wasn't in it for the money. And by God's grace, John had the spotlight and his voice went out. But others didn't see it that way. When they saw that John had the spotlight, they weren't so happy about that, because they lost the spotlight. And so a delegation was sent to John from the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem, and they sent the priest and the Levites, and some Pharisees came along. And they began to question John. And we see from these questions, they were either a misunderstanding of who John really was, or they were a challenge by the people who came to question him. John, are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet Elijah? Are you the prophet? John's answers, plain and simple, I'm not the Christ. No, I'm not. And no, I'm not. And so they pressed him. Tell us, what do you say about yourself? Who are you? What are you about? John's answer, very simply, I'm a voice. John basically was saying, I'm not anyone special, but I have a special message. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. That was a hard thing for the people that saw John that were sent to swallow. He was just a voice. Sometimes, I think today too, that can be a hard thing for us to swallow. That is, we end up taking the spotlight and putting it where it doesn't belong. And I know from a preacher's perspective, this is something that can be a challenge. When you hear someone say, wow, Pastor, that was a great message today. Or someone says, Pastor, I like your church, and I like you so much better than my old church. Or, you have such a great church, I really love it here. It's very easy for the pastor, the preacher, to want to take all the credit for that. And to somehow think that the spotlight belongs on him. Imagine the temptation it was for John. As all the people were coming, just to think that he's more than a voice, he's someone special. But no, he says, I'm a voice. And it can be also challenging, can't it, for parishioners to lose sight of where the spotlight should be, right? Certainly you guys, I know you're not going to go around thinking that some preacher somewhere is the Messiah, like they mistakenly might have thought in John's time. But might we end up giving the impression that the preacher or the teacher is a little bit more important than what they preach? Maybe someone who's looking for a church comes across this thought as they're looking for a church home and they're trying to find a place that fits their personality. Or someone that maybe fits their persona. Or someone that wears the vestments that they prefer or the music that they like. And suddenly, what are they looking for? What is on the spotlight and on their agenda? You know, I had someone call church earlier this week. If you're here, I'm sure you understand where I'm going. They were asking, what kind of music does your church have? I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised. They didn't say, what does your church teach, or what is your church about, but only we're concerned about what kind of music we have. And maybe when someone's looking for a church, the spotlight ends up going in the wrong direction. John points us in the right direction as he says, I'm just a voice. And my job is to make straight the way for the Lord. When you consider John's role, suddenly we see the real important thing. John, you see, was to faithfully make hearts ready for the coming of the Lord. And I think the Pharisees who questioned him also, the priests and the Levites who thought, John, you're a priest and a Levite, what are you doing out here? This isn't the way things go. They were probably troubled because they didn't have and hold to and had lost, many of them, long ago what John had. He was a voice pointing to Scripture. He was a voice that was preparing hearts for what they needed. John, you see, proclaimed God's law and God's gospel. John proclaimed the law that convicted hearts of their sin and brought people to see the need for repentance before God. And John proclaimed a shining, free, and unconditional gospel message. John was a voice, a faithful voice, pointing people to Christ. Jesus, 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 look, the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world for all those who need to have something dealing with their guilt. The message is proclaimed, Jesus is the solution. For all those who need to hear the problem and the weight of sin, need to hear, without Jesus, there's nothing but punishment and God's wrath. But with Jesus is washing and cleansing and full and free forgiveness. And John pointed to Jesus as that Lamb who gave his life, who came in the human flesh to die for his people. For that message, John was a voice. And that is what was needed then. That is what is needed today. John points us to the right spotlight, the spotlight on Christ. Certainly, that's not the message you always hear in every church all the time. There is a temptation for people to lose the focus, to have the bishop with the flowing garments be the focus, or to have the music and to make that the main focus, or perhaps even just to make the focus on a personality. But what we see here is without any of that, without any of those things, God accomplished his purpose in John, a voice, a faithful voice that says, I'm pointing to Christ. And don't get me wrong, good music is a blessing. Having a nice facility is a blessing. Having a church promotion plan and strategy is a blessing. Having a budget and something that can supply your funds and your needs is a blessing. But without the focus and the spotlight on Jesus, we lose what we need. You know, there's a lot of people vying for the spotlight. If you just look at some of the statistics, it's quite interesting how for a 30-second commercial on one of the top comedies today, you have to pay over $300,000. And people pay it because there's a struggle for that 30 seconds of people's attention, because they know when you have the spotlight, when you have someone's attention, you have influence, you have power, and you can get your message out. Well, what about our God? What does he do to get his message out? God, who is over all and has all things and could use anything for his spotlight. He chooses to send lowly, humble messengers, just voices that point to Christ. People like you and me who proclaim Christ and take the spotlight and put it on him. That's what God uses. The leaders in Jesus' time, the priests, the Levites, it's pretty sad. They lost that focus. Why? Because they were self-concerned. They weren't pointing hearts to make them ready for Christ because they were concerned about their own agendas, their own way. And so they lost sight of concern for others and God's concern that they be prepared for his coming. When you think about it, that's the way it happens, isn't it? We too are tempted to become self-concerned and no longer concerned about pointing the spotlight where it belongs. There was an interesting public relations stunt, I guess you could call it, done by Burger King not too long ago. And what they did was, this was done in order to highlight the problem of bullying, but it brings out an interesting point. What they did was they took some Whopper Juniors and they just smashed them like they were beaten up. And they gave those to their customers. And all the customers received these smashed up, beaten up Whopper Juniors. But at the same time, using actors, right across from them, they had some high school juniors. And they had one of those high school juniors in the group being teased, had his food messed up and beaten up by the surrounding peers. And can you imagine how many people responded and reported to their beaten up Whopper Junior? 95% of them went to complain and do something about that beaten up hamburger that had much to do with them, but walked right past the junior, the high school junior that was facing abuse. And only 12% actually made it their concern to not just be concerned about their burger, but that other person. That's the way it can be. When the Christian church fixes its eyes on my voice, they start to lose sight of getting Christ's voice out. When the Christian church and God's people start to say, my spotlight, they start to lose the ability to shine the spotlight on Christ. Or when they say, my way, my agenda, they start to lose the ability to point the way to Christ. And Him is the way, truth, and life. This happens to pastors, happens to parishioners, happens to people that are looking for a church home. But if we keep our focus on Christ, the spotlight turns, doesn't it? I'm just a voice. And we point people to see what Jesus, the Son of God, who takes away our sin, has done. We point to see Jesus, who gives us just what we need, free and full forgiveness. The spotlight shines where it belongs. And there we see us, the people of God, the people that are looking for a church home, the people that need to hear that voice, hearing something crying in this dark wilderness of this world. Jesus. And yeah, it's something we get to be a part of. Can you believe it? They've made me a voice. I get to be a voice. You get to be a voice for the Son of God. Keep the spotlight on Jesus. Amen.